Hi, my name is Brian Higbee, and I would like to welcome you to the City Church Podcast. It is our hope that this podcast will not only bless you, but cause the kingdom of God to grow within you and the world around you. Come on, let's listen
Amen.
In.
Amen. Amen. Everybody stand up real quick. All right, everybody turn around, take a look around. Oh, yeah. I just want you to enjoy what I get to see every week, okay? Someone give God a hand clap right now. These are amazing people. Wow, wow. And look, if you're here for the first time, I want to welcome you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Someone give God a hand clap right now. Those visitors that are here. Hey, listen, I mean this. I really do. This isn't just a saying, but you make us better when you're here. As a matter of fact, you're going to get a little note from me that I just want to thank you for being here, and I personally send out a note thanking you for that because you're important. Every time someone else is here, so let me explain something. No matter who you are, no matter what your condition in your relationship with God is, you have to understand that you carry a measure. You've been created by God, right? How many believe you've been created by God? Bang your hands together. All right, yeah. And how many believe that God hid a portion of his kingdom within you? Clap your hands together. Well, yeah, we see that manifest in look, everyone has different talent. Everyone looks a little different, and I'm grateful for that. Amen? That not everybody looks like me. That's a good thing. Come on, somebody. Don't clap too loud. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. You could have went, aw, you know. Yeah, okay, whatever. Too late. No, look, God has hidden a measure of the kingdom in each one of us. And when people of the kingdom of God come together, you say, well, you know, but doesn't that mean just people that are, you know, really going after God? No. No, listen, you carry a measure of the kingdom with you, whether you're doing something about it right now or not. And when that comes together, there is, if you will, a resonating that's going on that makes fuller, F-U-L-L-E-R, fuller, more full, that portion of the kingdom that's here and now. I've seen that happen. I've gone to places where there have been very large masses of people that did not know God. I've gone into some places in India. Listen, in India, people are of no shortage. The suburbs of Delhi, India, are larger than some of our largest cities in Pennsylvania. I mean, I was in the suburb of Delhi called Faridabad, and it has like 7 million people in the suburb. What's interesting is when you go there and you preach, you find that there is a measure of the kingdom there that you do not sense in smaller groups. And I can just tell you, I have learned that from experience, not necessarily from theology, that when people gather together, God is very attentive. And when there is someone who welcomes the presence of God, amazing things take place. So why I'm saying that is because you're here, you actually make better what is going on here. You say, well, but I'm not on stage. I'm not, you know, doing the words or running the camera or greeting or anything. I'm just here. That's enough. Yeah. Touch someone and say, that's enough. Say, thanks for being here. All right. So with that being said, what I want to talk about today is the title of what I'm speaking today is In Position or Imposition. In Position or Imposition. But before I get ahead of myself, I've got to tell you a story that's almost true. Okay, there was a doctor, a lawyer, a little boy, and a pastor that went out for an afternoon flight on a small private plane. Suddenly, the plane developed engine trouble. In spite of the best efforts of the pilot, the plane started to go down. Finally, the pilot grabbed the parachute, yelled to the passengers they had better jump, and then he bailed out. Like I said, this is almost a true story. Unfortunately, there were only 3 parachutes remaining. The doctor grabbed one and said, I'm a doctor, I save lives, so I must live, and jumped out. The lawyer then said, I'm a lawyer, lawyers are the smartest people in the world, I deserve to live. He also grabbed a parachute and jumped. The pastor looks at the little boy and said, son, Hey, listen, I've lived a long, full life. You're young. You have your whole life ahead of you. Take the last parachute and live. Little boy looked at the pastor and handed the parachute back to him and said, "Not to worry, Pastor. The smartest man in the world just took off with my backpack." Yeah, like I said, almost a true story. I enjoy watching football. Matter of fact, I was watching it yesterday with my friend Justin that's here, and he even said to me, he said I really should pay a little more attention to college football because we were enjoying together watching the one game. Clemson won. Yes. We're thankful for Greg. Yeah, yeah. Look at him beaming up there. Just look at the camera up there. Look at that cheesing face right now. Can I say, was it last week they lost? What didn't have that same smile? But yeah, so we've been watching college football, and I really enjoy football as a whole. It's the one of the few sports that I played. Because I enjoy football, I pay attention to it and the intricacies of it, and I'm going to share a little bit of an analogy from football. I think that we can all, and forgive me if you aren't partial to football, but I think you'll glean the understanding from what I'm saying. Again, what I'm talking about is being in position or an imposition. You know, what is God to you? Does following God help you get into position, or is following God an imposition? You know, to be in position means to be in the correct position that God intends for you to be in. And the question would be, why? Why should I do what God wants me to do? Why should I get in the correct position? And I'd refer you in the Old Testament to Psalm 133. It says this: "Behold, how good and pleasant it is." So good and pleasant, that sounds good, right? How many like things that are good and pleasant? Let me see your hands. Yeah, okay. So how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity, to dwell, to live together, to be in the same place. It's like precious oil upon the head, coming down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. Now, Aaron was considered in the Old Testament to be the priest of priests, right? He was the high priest of Moses' tabernacle. He was the one that represented the one who was the go-between between heaven and earth. Like, he was the one who represented God to people. That's what priests do, right? And it says in the Word of God that the fathers of a house are like priests of a house. They're to represent heaven to earth. I think sometimes we miss our role as priests. The Word of God says that we're a kingdom of kings and priests, that we all collectively, as the body of Christ, as those who live for Jesus, that we are priests. And what do priests do? Priests represent heaven to earth. And I think if we would take our role as priests a little more seriously, that we actually can do this. When I say seriously, I don't mean that like you kind of just slough it off like, oh, whatever. No, I think we're convinced by life, by darkness, by other voices, that we really don't have the ability to represent heaven to earth. But look, you've been made to have a relationship with God, right? You've been made to be in His presence. You've been made to dwell with Him, right? That's the correct position. And because we walk in that position with God, then anything we receive from God, we can give, right? And so God gives us that ability. The problem is you don't see it. You don't see that you can do that. You don't see that it's not just something you can do. It's something that you're expected to do because the very good thing that you receive, the good and pleasant thing that you receive, you can give away. So let's read on in Psalm 133. It says, "Behold how good and pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. It's like precious oil upon the head, coming down the beard." Even Kevin, where you at? Here, come here. Come here. So I want you all to take a look at Kevin. Isn't he a fine specimen? For those of you that are watching at home, he is single. And we're taking applications, okay? All right. He can sing and dance. Go ahead. Don't dance. No. So take note at Kevin's beard. He pays very close attention to his beard, and he keeps it very nice. He can have it long. Like I can't have mine long because I don't pay that close attention to it, so I have to keep it short. But he does, and you actually put oil on your beard, correct?
I do.
And why do you do that? Keeps your skin from drying out underneath and getting all, like you could have like dandruff in your beard.
Yep.
Really? That'd be funky. Okay. All right.
It is.
Yeah. So doesn't he have a nice beard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Give him a hand clap. That was good. That's all I wanted. Kevin, you were just being my model right there. Yeah. Never thought of yourself that way, did you? So look. So Aaron the priest, right, has a long beard, and oil is being poured over his head. Oil, by the way, represents Holy Spirit, right? But Holy Spirit being poured out. And notice what it doesn't say that it's sprayed or that it's broadcast, but it's poured. There's an order to it. And so Holy Spirit is, the oil is being poured over the head, down over the beard, even Aaron's beard coming down upon the edge of his robes. It's like the dew of Hermon coming down upon the mountains of Zion. Now, if we would say dew coming down a mountain, what would we call that? We would call that a what? Dew coming down a mountain. Dew comes together, forms into a stream. Streams come together and form into creeks. Creeks come together and form into rivers, right. So that's kind of the picture that God wants to give us in this. Now watch this. This last part is so important. For there, everyone say there. For not over here, not back in that place, but there the Lord commanded the blessing. And what is the blessing? Life forevermore. Now not just life in the sense of I can still breathe, but life in the sense of God's kind of life. How many of you know that God's kind of life is the best kind of life? That God intends for all of his people to have an amazing life, right? So, but to get that picture of, here's Aaron the priest and the oil is running down over his beard, down to the hem of his garment. If you want to be touched by that oil, where must you be? Over there, back there. You must be under the priest of Aaron. Would that make sense? That, in other words, you need to be under that place that the one who is connecting heaven to earth is releasing heaven on earth. It's being positioned correctly. Okay? You all agree with that? Bang your hands together if you get that. Okay. All right. Yep. So being positioned is crucial. But being positioned, look, how many have you heard the phrase, well, he was just in the right place at the right time, right? And it seems like that's kind of how people explain the blessing of God. Well, he was just in the right place at the right time. You know, I mean, we see the one story in the Word of God where, you know, when the water of that pool began to shift, if you were the first one that got down into the pool, then you were the one who got healed, right? But the guy who was way back because he wanted the most comfortable spot while waiting on the pool to shift, when the water shifted, he couldn't get there in time. Everyone would get there before him. But the one who was kind of waiting on the step, right at the water, he probably wasn't as comfortable. He wasn't as content. It was a little harder to be there. But when the water shifted, he went down in the pool and he got healed. Sometimes being in position, correct position, is not always comfortable. Sometimes being in the correct position can cost you something that seems at the moment valuable, but not near as valuable as to what God wants to pour out. Because being in position or being in that place is either going to, you're gonna say, I'm in position where God wants me to be, or this is an imposition and I refuse to remain here. An imposition, when someone imposes something on you. One thing about America, I love this nation. I really do. I love America. I've been to many other nations, and I wouldn't want to live in any other nation. I love being there. I love visiting. I love going to Tanzania. I love going to Slovenia and Hungary. I have very good friends in Serbia. I love visiting there. I love being in their homes. But this is my home, and I love this nation. But the one thing about this nation that we have to be very careful about is how this nation was formed. You see, oftentimes the way something was formed has to be adjusted. And yes, we needed to break away from Great Britain. Did we do it the exact way that God intended? Maybe. Maybe not. I don't know. We can discuss that. We can have a long discussion about that. But here's what I see, though. The way the nation was formed, when we went in rebellion to the government that was over us, it sowed this tiny root of rebellion in us. I mean, it was called a rebellion, right? That's what they called it. And are we where we're supposed to be as a nation? Are we independent and that's what God intended? I believe that. But maybe the way we got there wasn't as precise or in position as it could have been. I remember in the movie The Patriot, Mel Gibson's character, when they were debating in the legislature of South Carolina whether they should vote for war, he said this. He said, "Why should I trade one tyrant 3,000 miles away for 3,000 tyrants 1 mile away?" And that grabbed me. Because we've got to be careful in how we respond. We have to be careful with how we act towards each other. We have to be careful about having a rebellious nature. It is good to push back. It is good to say, that's not right. That is a good thing. But we have to make sure our hearts are right in doing that. My intention is not to get political here. My intention is to turn it to our relationship with God. See, sometimes we don't like when God says, hey, listen, that you shouldn't do. See, because that it's in our nature to say, well, who are you to tell me what to do? It's like the little boy who really gets angry with his father when his father snags him up. The problem is the little boy was going to step in front of a bus, and the father had to snag him up because he was about to destroy himself. Are you with me? Does this make sense? Yes. My point is this. It's God's desire and intention to bless your socks off. It's God's desire and intention to make your life financially blessed, your relationships be blessed, your children be blessed, everything around you to be blessed. The problem is we have to position ourselves correctly in order for that to take place. And that means doing what he would have us do. That means being intentionally in position, right? I'd like to illustrate this. I need about four volunteers. Okay, come here, Jake. Come here, Cheryl. All right, come here, real quick. All right, so I'm going to try to use a football analogy. I'm not sure this is going to work, but okay. So you two are the linemen. You're the big linemen. Jake, you're the tiny little running back. You stand back here, okay? All right, and Cheryl, you're the defensive lineman. Okay, I want you to get, that's it, yeah. Yeah, you're right here. No, you turn and face them. Yeah, okay, all right. So we had to learn this when we were playing football, that it's called gap integrity. That there's a line, and this guy here is going to, he's going to get the football, and he's going to try to run for a touchdown, right? And it's this team's job over on this side of the ball to stop that running back from making any yardage, right? Are you with me so far? Is this okay? All right, so Jake, stand up. You ain't that tired. Okay, you're a running back. Okay. Now, these two, their job is to get her out of position. Her job is to stay in position. Now, here's what I want to show you. If you start from the wrong place, you have no chance. She's going to move over here. Now, stand, come right here. Stand and face right there. Now, there's this big gap right here, right? And so if Jake wants to come through, he hikes the ball, and he comes through, and he runs for a touchdown. Why? Why was he able to so easily do that? Because she was out of position. Are you with me? Now come back in position. May I suggest to you, come stand right here. Okay, may I suggest to you that being in position is more crucial than having loads of talent. Because when he tries to come through, they have a set play. When he tries to come through the gap, she's standing right here and she stops him, tackles him, throws him to the ground, beats him, no, she's not going to do any of that. All right? You see the illustration? Does this make sense?
Yes.
Give him a hand clap. They did good. Okay. All right. Here's what I want you to see. God so wants to bless your life. It's his promise all throughout the Word of God. He said, look, how he wrote over and over and over again, hundreds of times in the Word of God, how many times he wants to bless you. It's his desire. The very last scripture in the Word of God, the very last chapter in all of the Word of God, in the book of Revelation, it says that John is having a vision, and he's talking about what it is that God is going to do and how this whole thing is going to wind up. And he wants to give us a picture of what it is that he's going to do. So the book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 22, in verse 1, it says, then he showed me a river. Now this is John, the revelator, John, one of the disciples of Jesus, that is writing this. He's having a vision. God is showing him. John is positioned correctly, okay? He's positioned correctly. And so because he's positioned correctly, God is showing him things that he can show us. So it says, then he showed me a river of water of life. Everyone say life. So the river is water of life. It's the blessing of God. Clear as crystal, no impurities in it, coming from the throne of God and the Lamb. In the middle of its street, on either side of the river, was the tree of life. Now, you have to understand how big this tree is. It's stretching across the river, right? It's going the whole way across the river, and it says that the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. There's no longer going to be any curse, and the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and it goes on. Now, here's the picture. Coming from the throne of God, from the place of God's rule, from the place of God's order, from the place of God's instruction, from God himself, there's a tree stretching out over this river, and the river is for the healing of the nations. How many of you know that our nation and the nations need healed? You believe that? Bang your hands together. Yeah, I agree. How does that happen? It happens because you and I are positioned correctly. See, if you're up beyond the banks of the river, you don't get what's flowing from the river, right? If you're not under Aaron, you can't catch the oil, the flow of God that is occurring. If you're not positioned correctly, then you can't do what you're supposed to do. I want to show one last scripture, and then we're gonna finish. In John chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out." This is our Lord. This is God incarnate, God come in the flesh, in the midst of people. He's in the midst of his disciples, and he cries this out, and he says, "If anyone is thirsty..." Now watch this. "If anyone is thirsty," say thirsty, "let him come to me and drink." Now watch this. It says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being flows rivers of living water." Now you have to understand what Jesus is communicating to them. He's saying to you, listen, when you come to me, for I am the source of that river, when you position yourself correctly, you get the flow of who I am. But listen, it doesn't just satisfy your thirst. It's greater than that. He said, "For out of your innermost being," automatically, like when you drink from Jesus, you don't just get satisfied. The problem with the church right now is we're just looking to be satisfied instead of being positioned correctly. But instead, he's saying, out of your belly flows rivers of living water. In other words, when you drink from me, you become a source to others. People will come to you and say, "Tell me what you have. There's something that I need that you have. I'm thirsty and I need something." And what's so amazing is God doesn't just fill up your thirst. He does even more. He places upon you the ability to satisfy the thirst of multitudes. Stand up as we close. Israel was in a very tough time. We read this morning in Constant Devotional, we read that Israel was in a really tough time and they were overtaken by another nation because they were out of position. See, when you're out of position, God can't be to you what you need. And so you say, "Well, isn't God all-powerful? Can't he do whatever he wants?" Yes, he can. And he does do what he wants. But he can't bless you if you're out of position, because when you're out of position, you're grabbing onto stuff that hurts you, that makes you someone you're not supposed to be. And if he blesses that, that means that increases that whole being who you're not supposed to be thing. And ultimately damages you and the people around you. So what he says is, come, just come, get in the midst of me. And if you do, then my river flows through you. So much so that out of your innermost being flows rivers of living water. The very water that satisfied your thirst, you'll be able to satisfy the thirst of many others. That's how we bring healing to the nations. That's how we bring healing to our neighbor. That's how we bring healing to the woman who's abused or the child who's neglected. is every good thing is available. We just have to position ourselves. So if you would, just bow your head for a moment. Lord, I just pray over this great house, these great people. I thank you for everyone that's here. I ask that you would help each one of us to center into where you want us to be. And the first thing that means is acknowledging that it can't be my way or my understanding. It has to be your way, God, and your understanding. And if that's you here today, don't feel pressure. Just understand that God is offering to you in this moment the ability to center in Him, to call Him Lord, to receive of His understanding and His direction and His goodness. Position yourself in the river of God. And whether you're here in this room or watching somewhere across this beautiful world, listening in your car, it doesn't matter. Right now, God is saying to you, hey, I want to love you. I want to bless you. I want to overwhelm you with my goodness. And I want that to even flow out of you. And if you want that, just say to the Lord, I want that. I want to position correctly in you. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my King. I want a position in your river. And if you do that, you say that to Him and you mean that, He will move worlds, help you figure out what to do next, how to navigate tomorrow, how to deal with the problems in your life. He never leaves you. He never forsakes you. That's who He is. So, Father, I thank you for your love for us, for your desire to bring us into your river, to bring us into position. You might be thinking, yeah, but man, I've rejected God so much. I almost feel awkward, like this is too easy. It's easy because you aren't making this happen. Jesus is. He paid the price so that you don't have to. As Cheryl talked about and Kenny talked about. Don't allow walking with God to be an imposition. Get in position right now. If you would, if you feel comfortable to, just, you know, when we lift our hands up to the Lord, we do it just kind of like my 3-year-old grandson does when he comes up to me and says, Pappy, and he goes like this. He just wants me to pick him up and just hold him for a minute. Probably about 3.7 seconds, that's about it. And then he's squirming to get down. But in that 3.7 seconds, I got everything I needed. Come on, somebody. So just close your eyes if you would. And just, if you feel led to, lift your hands up to God. Because I want to bless you with the blessing of God. Father, bless them and keep them and make your face to shine on them. Lift up your countenance on them now and give them your peace and your grace. Help us, Lord, to be in position continually. If we get out just a little far, Holy Spirit, I give you permission to just nudge me and say, come on, get back in line. Would you say that to Holy Spirit right now? Say, I give you permission when I get out of position to nudge me just a little bit and get me back in line. And all the people of God said, amen. City Church, go and be blessed. I'll see you next week.
Thanks so much for listening to the City Church podcast. Listen, if you want to listen to more episodes, you can reach us at www.citychurch.us. And remember that this podcast is listener supported. And so if you would like to donate, go to the City Church website and click on I Give at City Church. And you can find a easy way to give online. Again, this is Brian Higbee. I would like to thank you so much for listening to our podcast. I hope you have an amazing and blessed week.